In conjunction with NAIDOC Week, the gallery presents exhibition Mumshell, Black Saint of Redfern, showcasing paintings by Gordon Siron and photographs from Elaine Siron, or Kitchener as she was formerly known. I'm joined in the studio by artist Elaine, as well as the founding director of the gallery, Adrian Newstead. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I've given a little bit of background into Shirley's life, except there's a huge plethora of things that she did. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about who she was and what she was like? Either
Elaine,
of you.
You do
that. Okay. Good morning. I think I'd first like to say I'd like to show respect and say the past and present elders of this land, I'd pay respect to them on which we land, on which we stand, and on Gadigal land. And I'd also like to pay respect to her, all the descendants of her family, because she had this huge family, and nieces and nephews, and her two grandsons, Richard and Peter Smith, who Peter came and spoke at the opening and told the most wonderful stories about her, about Mum Shirl as well. I think that Mum Shirl was an exceptional person because she shared every single thing she had. She shared money. She shared her time. She shared her knowledge of traditions and culture and the past, because she was raised by her grandparents in the bush. She was born at Cowra Mission and lived there till she was six. But her grandfather got expelled from the mission, and then he built a house underneath the railway bridge for them. But I think because they didn't get rations anymore, then they went in the bush, and the rest of the family did live there. But she went and didn't go to school very much because she often said that she couldn't read or write. And it was for a reason. She was epileptic, and her grandfather took her under his care. So she knew more language and knowledge and all of this culture and traditions that a lot of other people missed out on or didn't have that time. But they gave her so much love. And I think also she ate bush food. You know, you can imagine a really balanced diet. So in one way, she was really fortunate to have this upbringing. And I think that created a basis of the, that sharing that's going on, that she did the whole rest of her life, of visiting prisoners, accepting children that were homeless, orphaned, sometimes just so a family of four children could stay together. In one example, they would have been sent, the girls to a girl's home, the boys to a boy's home, but she kept them in her own home. And she had this huge support group of nieces and nephews and all this family that also extended family that helped. There were many friends, too, that drove her around, helped take care of the kids. So I'm going on a bit, and I haven't let Adrian talk. But in the gallery, we have pictures of her over the years. I first started taking pictures of her in 1977. And that was the time that Bobby Sykes, Dr. Roberta Sykes, wrote an autobiography of her. And they also came to my home and sat in front of a fireplace and made tapes too. And Bobby kept all of those tapes. But later we made a lot of tapes together. I've sort of got the idea from Bobby to do that. And I still have all those tapes, like, you know, ones of Gary Foley and Mum and Joe Croft and Mum and just lots of tapes by a lot of people in the Redfern community.
So how did you get involved in the Redfern community at that time, and when did you meet?
Well, it was 1977, and Bobby introduced me to her, but it was Andy Reese who introduced me to Bobby. And I was a high school teacher at the time, teaching English and history. And my history books were full of, it was an Aboriginal person with a spear. And it didn't discuss the history of the massacres or any kind of, I was shocked by it. And when I started to move around in the Aboriginal community in Redfern, I saw people Aboriginal people achieving things. They were just creating the Aboriginal Legal Service, Aboriginal Medical Service, and I'm not going to say that Mum Cheryl founded all of those things, but she certainly was involved, and the Child Care Center, Murrawina, and she helped start a breakfast program. I mean, and so then sometimes those things developed into, you know, by her visiting the prisoners, the Aboriginal Legal Service. See what I mean? I'm not saying she did it by herself. It was a lot of Aboriginal people that had get up and go, you know. And Paul Coe was the director of that for a long time, too. And I certainly took a lot of pictures of him and had an exhibition at the Aboriginal Legal Service. I had one at the Aboriginal Medical Service and also at the Aboriginal Children's Service in 82. So over the years, I worked in that community, and I felt accepted by it. It was almost my extended family.
And thinking more about your work, so your work, you work in photography, and your work is exhibited alongside your husband and partner Gordon's paintings. I'm interested in how these two different art forms and your practice kind of collide in the exhibition, especially because you're a husband-wife duo. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
It did collide because...
And how did you meet Gordon?
Yeah, Mum Cheryl introduced us.
Oh, really? Wow.
In 1982, when he came out of prison, he was serving a life sentence, and she helped him get out of prison. But she visited him for over 10 years. He used to say that when she walked into the prison and asked to see him, you know, sometimes she had given his name already. He was waiting. He said when she walked in, the prison officers started shaking. They were scared of her.
Wow.
And see, she had a pass, a gold pass, to go into any prison in Australia. How did she get it? How do you think she got that? My God, they just respected her. The superintendent, the governor of the prison, the head of corrective services, they, you know, I just can't tell you how, because she came there so many times and she cared about the prisoners. And Gordon said that quite often that, and I drove her many times too, and I was with her, you know, but many people did that, not just me. I wasn't allowed to take my camera in. But if you were sitting in and you had to write down the testimony because she couldn't write, she did the interview and we would just write everything what the man said. Sometimes her questions, she would turn and say, make sure you get that. And as they were leaving, he would say, the person would say, could you just talk to the person in the next cell? They need help. It didn't matter if they were white. She would walk over there and talk to him. Okay, I'll come and see you next week.
I'm interested in what she did in terms of combating deaths in custody. As you mentioned a lot, she worked with people in different jails. She was also involved in the Royal Commission into Prisons. Yeah, so can you tell us a little bit more about that history of her life?
Look, you know, if it wasn't for that, she played a very large role in it. And if anybody's interested, there's a set of books that Gordon has it because my husband was part of that Royal Commission. And he gave testimonies of seeing prisoners bashed, knowing that it could come, that those same prisoners could come back and bash him. He was one of two people. He said there was a migrant guy and himself that actually, you know, but they were, the testimonies were very verbal, you know, very clear, and it could have come back on them. Mum Cheryl played an important role in that whole, you know, I just would like to just change the subject just a little bit and say that Mum Cheryl would have turned over in her grave if she saw the incarceration rates now in the Northern Territory and all over Australia. She wouldn't be able to visit all the prisoners. You know, sometimes Gordon says, you know, the Aboriginal prisoners were the best prisoners in the whole jail, and he was here a long time. He said that the reason why that they would say, yes, boss, no, boss, yes, boss, and they never caused any trouble.
It's truly
But there
awful.
Were so many of them.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, an amazing legacy to leave for someone, though. Andrew, do you have any favourite moments that are captured in the exhibition?
Look, I think the exhibition is incredibly moving. There, of course, there's the giant portrait of Mum Cheryl herself, which is a very important historic painting. but also so many of the people that that Elaine knew and worked with in Redfern, who in turn knew Mum Shirl and assisted her, are on display there in not only the beautiful large photographs that have been printed, but also in the conversation corner that we've made with all the press clippings from that time. And you know, it's 21 years since Mum Shirl died, and Redfern's changed appreciably during that 21 years. Many of the buildings and the landmarks that were intimately identified with the Aboriginal struggle have disappeared as real estate values have increased and development's gone on there. And there's been a real effort on some people's behalf to move the Aboriginal people out of Redfern, out to Campbelltown and out, back out to a lot of the communities they originally came from. So this history is being lost. And, you know, I met Elaine and Gordon. Well, I knew Elaine in her previous kind of incarnation, if you like, almost before she and Gordon got together. And I think I met Gordon almost immediately after he got out of jail in the late 70s. He was very angry and disturbed and you know, he could be pretty adversarial towards whiteys, and he certainly had a go at me a few times in those days. Over the last 20 years, he has softened a bit, as his art practice has developed, and Gordon's done some very, very important work, a major body of work. Many of his most important paintings were actually bought by the National Museum of Australia some time ago, but there's still some famous works of his, like Judgment by His Peers, for instance, which has been used probably more than any other art image in Australia's history in legal journals and books, etc. In that painting, everybody, the judge, the jury, the lawyers, are all black, and the only white person is the person standing in the dock. It's pretty potent image.
Where is it? Yeah.
Well, you tell
me. Okay, yeah. Linda Burney, you know, politician, wonderful. I think she's minister now, Linda Burney, of
Federal.
Opposition minister.
Yes.
She found out it was in storage in Canberra, and it's now in her office. We delivered it to her office proudly.
Wow.
And also another painting, a portrait of David Goldblum, is in her office too now.
So just one last question. Evidently, Mum Shirl has an incredible legacy for Sydney and Australia and abroad. What is the significance of, you know, commemorating and showcasing her life in 2019?
I think it's really important that we remember the social and political history of the city in which we live and the country in which we live. Mum Shirl was not called the Black Saint of Redfern for nothing. She was utterly selfless and threw herself throughout her life into humanitarian work in such an inspiring way. She inspired so many people, and activists and politicians and health workers right across the whole divide. These are really important stories to be told, and as the director of a gallery in Sydney that's been identified with Aboriginal people since it first opened in 1980, we feel it's terribly important to keep this, not just the history alive, but the art images, to bring them together in a curatorial way in order to tell stories. You know, artworks are a bit like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. you know, they an artist might tell a whole story in an exhibition or a body of work, but those individual paintings tend to get dispersed to individual owners and museums, etc., so that all you really get is a jigsaw puzzle piece that's missing from the larger story, like the freeze frame in a whole comic strip or a comic story. So being able to put these together to tell a coherent story is the vital work that good galleries do, and Kui Gallery is the oldest exhibiting Aboriginal art gallery in Australia. There's a lot of difference between a retail store or retail gallery selling Aboriginal paintings to tourists and a gallery that's determined to do culturally significant exhibitions, bringing together bodies of work and revisiting artists, particular artists' careers, which is something that we're very proud to do, and it's been our passion for more than 40 years.
Wow. Well, thank you so, so much for the incredible insight into Mumshell's life, as well as her ongoing legacy. It's wonderful to talk.